Father, what an honor and joy to be here and to bow down before you, Lord. And as we open your precious word for a few moments this morning, what a blessing, Lord. Your word is life. Your word is truth, not just true, but truth. And Lord, you held nothing back from us. And so may we praise you and honor you. Pray to you as well this morning, Lord, that you would lead us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with the Psalms of Ascents, and I don't know if I did the right thing or not, but I decided to cover Psalm 125 and 126 because 125 is five verses, 126 is six verses, and the Psalm of Ascents, as you know, are all really very short. And the people would sing these as they came up the hill to Jerusalem. And so now we are in the surrounding areas of the city, it would seem, this morning. And we are at Psalm 125. And the Lord, the strength of his people, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved and abides forever. So when I came across the word forever, I thought of this old hymn. It's about 350 years old by August Toplady, an old one you all know, Rock of Ages. And so that is an immovable forever picture, is it not? So let us sing together with Rock of Ages here.
Rock of Ages, let for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be a sin but a save from wrath and make me pure.
Would my tears forever flow? Would my sin cause anger flow? Is for sin.
Psalm 125, the Lord, the strength of his people. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts, as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. So as we look at this psalm, we see the forever aspects here of trusting in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Everything around this world physically is temporal, just for a few years. But those who trust in the Lord cannot be moved, but abide forever. Just thinking, tomorrow will be 8 years since Pastor Chuck went to be with Glory, and 8 years, we count the days or whatever you want to do, months or whatever. But, you know, soon there'll be no time. When we're with him, it's now. He said, I am that I am. It didn't say I am that I was, or I am for a few minutes, or I am for a few centuries. And we're created in his image, and we will live forever. We talk so much about death, it seems like, right? Oh, they only live 72 years, or 73 years, or 83 years, or whatever. And I can understand that. But for the believer, that's nothing. It's all about what's ahead. Yeah, it's what's today, because we'll be talking about reaping and sowing here, so important. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is a high point, but mountains surround it on the north, and Scopus and so forth on the south. The mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord, Yahweh, surrounds his people. Do you feel exposed? Yeah, at times. But he surrounds us, like the mountains surround Jerusalem. And of course, these are all such beautiful pictures if you're familiar with Israel, because it's all about Jerusalem here. And as we think about that, you know, Jerusalem is the center, I believe, of the universe. It certainly will be the city that is in Revelation 21, the new Jerusalem, is the center and will be forever, right? So we're looking at Jerusalem is not just a dot on a map that will pass away. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. This time forth and forever. Think of that. This time forth and forever. That's you and that's me as well. Verse 3, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Aren't you glad for that verse? We see the scepter of wickedness all around the world, don't we? Maybe at a height that is approaching the maximum, I don't know. But I'm just talking about this country. This country is such a blessed country. And God, if you spend any time reading the true history of the foundation of this country. I'm just reading a book right now on all the miracles that happened, of the battles early on, fog, clear, just like the Israelites, fog on the British side, clear on the Continental Army side. The British had 30 warships around the Boston Harbor. They had, I don't know how many thousand men, about eight times what the Continental Army had. And the Continental Army had no chance. They were going to be wiped out. I mean, no chance at all. God sends the fog and allows Washington to miraculously escape under their very nose. They were down to like a little 2-square-mile area is all they had, surrounded by ships and all these cannons on the ships. But God was in this nation. He still is. But we are so turning our back on him. We're doing everything we can to, what do you call, thumb your nose or whatever, you know, or stick your finger in eyes and so forth. But here, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest or remain on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Or, also could be read, so they will not, so the righteous will not reach out their hand to iniquity. He's not going to leave us in an iniquity position forever, lest some would over, I guess, long enough time turn back to iniquity or turn to iniquity, but lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. And then we read this prayer really here, do good, O Lord, to those who are good. And of course, we know that is already done, really, and is being done. And to those who are upright in their hearts. Now, that doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean perfect, but it means upright. How upright would you say your heart is? As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways. Well, when I read that, I don't want to even watch the news because that's all I see is crooked ways, right? As such as turn aside to their crooked ways, what? For the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. So God's going to take care of everything. God's going to take care of everything. God's going to take care of everything. Not man, but we pray. We do want to stand for him. And then the closing statement there, peace upon Israel. Peace upon Israel. We get to Psalm 126, and if you read Isaiah 35, it's almost a carbon copy of a lot of these verses, but it's about sowing and reaping. A joyful return to Zion. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing when they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What a beautiful statement. So verse 1, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. Now, you know, everybody wants to have their own identification. Which captivity? Which captivity? Well, it's the captivity. You fill in the blank. A lot of people say, well, it's Babylon, because we kind of remember Babylon maybe better than Assyria, because Babylon happened after Assyria. But this is 1,000 years when this was written before Christ, so neither Assyria or Babylon had gone into captivity. So, but this is prophetic, really. And other captivity, what captivity are you in? What captivity am I in? But bring back our captivity, O Lord. When the Lord brought back captivity of Zion and a good, and who's Zion? Well, you can do a whole study on that, I think. But I think this just generally is referring to Jerusalem and Israel. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, Mount Zion, we were like those who dream. It was unbelievable. We've been in captivity, and you can think about your own self in sin, and captivity in sin. And when the Lord brought us back, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was to the unbelievers. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And I would pray that that is what everyone who meets you would say of you, who is not a believer, or who is a believer and doesn't believe in the Lord, that the Lord has done great things in that person. The Lord has done great things in them. And then Israel would say, you would say, the believers would say, the Lord has done great things for us. Amen? What great things he has done for us. We are glad. How glad are you? How overjoyed are you in what he's done for you?
Well, yeah, but you know all the things going on around here.
No. Are you glad on the great things he's done for you, for me? Bring back our captivity, O Lord. And there's some controversy on just what that means. I think what it means is at any one point in time, there were some who were brought back, but not all. And so those who are still in captivity, I would even say today, those are still unsaved. Those are still in bondage to sin. Bring them in, Lord. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. So the picture there is the streams in the south. That's the desert part of Israel. And there are all these gullies and wadis, but they're all dry except for spring in the year when they get the rains, and then you have the flash flood. So you go from no water to overflowing. So this is like bring back our captivity from kind of dry land to overflowing. And then verse 5, great verse, those who sow in tears. Think about our Lord Jesus sowing in tears. And I think that could be so precious things in tears. Those who sow precious things in tears. And so we see the Lord weeping. Some weeping over death at Lazarus' tomb, but knowing full well he was going to raise him from the dead. So I don't think he's crying over Lazarus. I think he's crying over the fact of the result of sin in the world. When you see a tomb area and all the death that's there because of sin. And then think of him crying over Jerusalem as a mother hen would cry over her chicks. Or think of his prayer in the garden where he cried out, as we read in Hebrews 5, vehement tears. And his prayer was heard. That's such a great thing when you think about that. You know, I think of the cross, I think of physically, you know, which I can't even imagine that. But I don't think that's what the Lord was crying about. I think the Lord was really crying about what was going to happen in paying the price of God's wrath for all the sin in the world. That is the zixzillion times what the pain physically on the cross was. But at any rate, he wept. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And we have the concept there of sowing and reaping, it seems. We have the promise, if we sow, we will reap. Right? And we also have an added promise there. Basically, you're going to reap more than you sow. So what are you sowing? Are you sowing good or are you sowing evil? But those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who goes forth continually weeping, bearing seed, precious seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Think of that picture. That's what you're to do, I believe, and I'm to do today. We're to put aside all of the distractions, bad news, and everything else that we could focus on, and sow the precious seeds, right? Sow the precious seeds. Maybe crying over the condition of Jerusalem or of this nation or of the world, or even more than that, of a fallen person who's still fallen, I should say, you know, they're still in sin. Think about that. Is that not worthy of tears? Cry for somebody who's unsaved? He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing precious seeds for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And that's so encouraging in a way because, you know, apart from him, we can't save anybody. And we can't bring any sheaves with us. But the promise is, what you reap, you sow. And if you're reaping, I should say, if you're sowing precious seeds, you're going to reap a harvest of wonderful sheaves, bringing his sheaves with him. Father, we thank you for these psalms. We thank you for your word, and we just thank you for the truth in it. And Lord, we do want to pray this morning, Lord. That is the one thing that you have invited us to, is to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so, Lord, whether you guide us in praying for the world or the nation or the church or unsaved people or whatever, all worthy of sowing these precious seeds in prayer. And so guide us now as we pray in Jesus' name. As we come to a close today, I just want to call your attention to verse 2. Again, in Psalm 126, the believer is saying, the Lord has done great things for them. Verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us. I would just pray we would not look at all the darkness and all the difficulties around us with anything other than gratefulness for the opportunity for the gospel. Where does the light shine forth most brightly? The darkness. And the Bible tells us the days are going to get darker and darker near the end, right? Do we think we're at the end? So what a time to sow the seed, right? Yeah, we cry. We sow the seed in tears. But think about what great things he has done for us. Just think about the victory that's already won. You didn't win it. I didn't win it. It's won. So let's close with this song, Great Things. It's a little bit more maybe of upbeat than tears, but he has done great things for us, right? So great things.
You conquered the grave. You free every captive.
Father, you have done great things. Thank you. Help us to sow today, Lord. May your will be done in each life. Thank you for each one here. And Lord, may we go forth with the awareness that time is short, but that we have such good news that you've given us. May we share that with our lives today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.